There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport. This is The Grill
with Tom Urquhart.
Exclusively on Dubai Eye 103.8, where we, you, and the world of sport gets to have a say.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. With you through until 6pm this afternoon. Plenty to look forward to. Early kickoff in the Premier League, as we'll be heading on down to the Vitality, where Bournemouth will be welcoming Pep and friends. That's the early kickoff in the Premier League. Four games at 6pm before the late at 8.30. Both live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Plenty of football across Europe and other corners of the globe. And it ain't just about the football today. We've got updates from international rugby. We've got updates from the Currie Cup. We're live in the US for a preview of the tennis, of US Open in tennis. We've also got updates from Spa as the final practice and qualifying gets underway for tomorrow's Belgian Grand Prix. The latest from Headingley, day two, England against the Windies, as James Anderson zeroes down on those 500 wickets. Leaderboards, updates from La Vuelta, and I think that's about it.
This is The Grill. Get in touch via text on 4001 or tweet us at Dubai Eye Sport.
Come on down to Barasti, be part of the action. Loads of sport to get your head round. And of course, I jest, there is the small matter of a very small fight.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You ready?
Ladies and gentlemen in attendance and boxing fans joining us around the world,
it's unpredictable, volatile, and unmissable. The notorious Conor McGregor steps into the boxing ring against the fighter of a generation.
The one and only, ladies and gentlemen, is Floyd Money Mayweather.
Masters of their craft meet in a contest the likes of which none of us have seen before. It's caught the imagination of the sporting public, and the build-up has raised the benchmark of self-promotion.
Started from the bottom, now I'm here.
God don't make mistakes, and God only made one thing perfect, and that's my boxing record.
The brash, outspoken Irishman is a born entertainer.
A 50k Rolex with baguettes in the dial. Yeah, and I'm in on ML. See ya.
Who carries not only the hopes of a nation, but also the expectation of the mixed martial arts fraternity.
I wouldn't be surprised if the first shot cracks off his temple and he goes down. When they doubt me, it lights a fire under me. They've been doubting me since the very beginning.
Floyd Mayweather, just one win away from beating Rocky Marciano's long-standing record of 49 straight wins and out, is still one of the sport's biggest draws, even after a two-year retirement.
The three biggest records in pay-per-view, whether it's MMA or boxing, it's only one man that holds those records, and that's me.
All of this happens in the mecca of boxing, Las Vegas, where anything can happen, and often does.
Sometimes you just can't script this sport. Astonishing.
Some love it, others hate it, but everyone is talking about it. Now it's time for the talking to stop.
Time for the talking to stop, and two men who will be talking it up along with special guests over the next 3 hours is the All-Star Grill panel. It's our very own Mayweather versus McGregor here, representing the United States of America. We have Ross Christ over there on the far side of the table. Good to have you with us, Christo.
Can't believe after 2 years of talking about this fight, it's finally the night before the fight. 2 years ago, gentlemen, we were talking about this when Conor said it in an interview. I mean, what has happened in the world in 2 years? But we're finally here. Can't wait. Everyone's going to be glued to the televisions come tomorrow morning.
Ross Christ are with us throughout the show, as is our head of sport and representing the Northern Hemisphere, not in the Northern Hemisphere, the whole of Europe, and of course, boxing fans the world over. Chris McCarty, just try and put into context what this fight means to you, to me, to Ross, to the boxing fraternity, to sports fans the world.
Yeah, it's transcended the sport. Very good afternoon to you, Tom, and a very good afternoon to the listeners as well. It is about, there is much more about boxing versus MMA. This is a sporting event that no matter where you come from, no matter the country you hail from, you are talking about it. Even my mother, for goodness sake, has been on the phone this week talking, who's going to win this, Chris? We all know, or at least I think I know, who's going to win it. But it is a sporting event that is transcending the two sports of boxing and MMA. I'm like Ross, I cannot quite believe we are just hours away from this fight over in Las Vegas. The trash talking, the unedifying scenes that we've seen in the past few months are at an end. It will be about those two individuals, those two gladiators going into that boxing ring, putting it all on the line. Cannot wait for about 7.30, 7.45, 8, 8.30. Who knows what time the fight will start tomorrow morning. Cannot wait for it, though.
It's not going to start on time, is it?
Absolutely
That's for sure.
Not, no.
There's one thing we can guarantee. There is going to be some sort of build-up to it tomorrow morning. Unless we forget as well, it's a world-class card of boxing to look forward to in Las Vegas. We're looking back on that one. We're looking ahead, sorry, I should say, to that one with none other than former undefeated WBO minimum weight champion and the former WBO light flyweight champion. Paul Weir will be joining us live down here at Barasti from 4 o'clock. So do come on, say hi to a former world champion. He'll be giving us his thoughts. Talking of live guests, we're also going to be joined by a ninja warrior, Ghostsport Ninja Warrior XO. Samia Skalidis will be joining us just after 4.30, so we'll be getting updates and thoughts from Samia as well. Plus, let's get the thoughts of the boys. I mean, we have to start with the big fight, the money fight itself. You just suggested that you think you know who's going to win. Tell us who and why.
I'll start. Floyd Mayweather will win this for the simple fact that he is the greatest exponent of boxing, if not certainly in our era, if not ever. He is a master at the counterpunch. The defensive skills with which he shows, he has no parallel on that front. And let us not forget, as much as a good game as Conor McGregor has spoken, not only in recent weeks and months since he took the world of UFC by storm, he has never fought professionally in a boxing ring. It is ludicrous to think that this man can cross over from MMA and defeat the greatest of his craft in the shape of Floyd Mayweather. Yes, a lot of people have jumped on the bandwagon. A lot of people have believed the hype. But the facts bear fruit. Floyd Mayweather has beaten the very best. He has beaten Manny Pacquiao. He has beaten Juan Manuel Marquez. He has beaten Oscar De La Hoya. Nothing at all suggests that Conor McGregor will have anything on Floyd Mayweather tomorrow morning.
Ross Christ, who and why?
I'm going to have to agree with my friend there, Chris McCarty. Floyd Mayweather, 12 world titles, 5 weight classes, 49-0, the best boxer of all time, certainly the best defensive boxer to ever grace the ring. Conor McGregor, I really believe, will actually get really injured in this fight. I think Floyd Mayweather will bring it to him. I think I actually, for once, believe one thing what Floyd says. I think he wants to go out in some type of bang, and I think Conor McGregor could seriously get injured inside that ring tomorrow morning.
In terms of this fight, we're hearing there about the perfect record that Mayweather takes into the fight itself. Does this count as a fight? I mean, is this a sanctioned fight? Does this go to being a world record?
This is 100% a sanctioned fight. I mean, this is sanctioned by the Boxing Commission. Conor McGregor had to get his boxing license for this fight. He had to prove to the commission that he is a valid boxer, and it's not that hard for MMA fighters to transition. You see that a lot of times with boxers transitioning to MMA, but this will 100% count for his record. And one other thing that, you know, Showtime hasn't been bringing this up. A lot of people in the boxing circles hasn't been bringing it up. You mentioned it earlier there, Tom. Rocky Marciano's record, he's going to break that. Yeah. I mean, this has been one of the longest standing records in boxing. Rocky Marciano hailing from Philadelphia, my home state of Pennsylvania, and he's had one of the best boxing careers ever. And Floyd Mayweather, when he beats him tomorrow, if he beats him tomorrow, will have the best boxing record of all time.
I just want to jump in here as well, Tom. There'll be an awful lot of listeners this afternoon thinking, or maybe text us, let us know your thoughts on 4001, because there is an awful lot of people who are giving Conor McGregor more than a fighter's chance tomorrow morning. And I think they're basing that on certainly his trash talking, what he has done. I think he is, his record in UFC, he more often than not wins by knockout inside the octagon. I do think, and here I am kind of going against myself, the best chance, the best possible chance Conor has, and again, I've written off his chances for weeks now, the best chance the way that he does have, he needs to bring something quickly to the table. I'm looking inside the first 2 rounds at the very least. That is where he can catch Floyd Mayweather on the hop, because let's be honest, Mayweather has no clue what Conor is going to bring to the table. He could be bringing, it'll be an MMA stance, he could be a circus act in those first 2 rounds. catching Floyd Mayweather cold is his best chance, because Floyd, as well as being the best boxer of all time, certainly the best defensive boxer of all time, he's also got one of the best boxing IQs. He'll take a couple of rounds to figure out what Conor's bringing to the table, and then after that it should be a procession. So if Conor is to pull off what I would consider to be the greatest sporting upset of all time, he'll need to do it inside two rounds.
So, Christo, I mean, yeah, you guys are making a huge amount of sense, as are boxing pundits the world over. There are very few out there that are willing to put their neck on the line and give McGregor even a sniff of a chance against one of the great exponents of the art of boxing from down the years. But if we had to make a case for Conor, what is that case?
I think Chris just kind of gave out the blueprint. Conor McGregor is not known in his MMA fights to be able to go the distance. His stamina is not there. That's why he finishes rounds quick. I mean, you saw what he did with Jose Aldo, finishing him off in 3 seconds. So if he is to come out on Floyd Mayweather, I think his blueprint would be in his corner, come out, try to catch him in the first or second round. Because other than that, Floyd Mayweather is a machine. He could run a marathon before this fight, then go into the ring 12 rounds. His endurance is just impeccable, especially for someone in their 40s. So I think if Conor McGregor is going to have a chance, he's going to have to crowd him very, very quickly. Maybe toss him onto the ground, something like that. Get in his head a little bit. Rattle him. Try to figure out a way to rattle the man, because he is so cool, calm, and collected. He doesn't even listen to his cut man. He doesn't listen to his father. He doesn't listen to his uncle in his corner. When he comes in his corner, they're all barking orders at him. He doesn't even respond. Yeah. He just looks at his opponent and dissects them round after round. He's his own coach. He's his own trainer. He's his own boxer. He's just a magician in the ring. So if Conor is going to try to break up the magic act, it's going to happen the first three rounds.
Interesting point you just made there as well, and I haven't thought about it up until now. We've focused a lot, haven't we, on the two fighters themselves, the teams behind them, the entourages as well. It's going to be a really interesting fight for the referee as well, because it's unorthodox in so many different ways. And I suppose it's going to have to be refereed properly, because we don't really know what to expect.
Exactly that. It has to be refereed to the letter of the law. Yeah. What I do hope, though, is that common sense prevails. And I'm not for one second saying that the referee needs to change his guise. He is there to ensure that the fight is fair and proper. But I do hope in the early rounds, Conor's given a little bit of a leverage. We are remembering he is the one that's stepping out of MMA into boxing. Now, not for one second would I suggest that he needs to go in with flying elbows or kicks, but just lean on Floyd that little bit more. Be a little bit rough in the clinch. Rough up Floyd Mayweather, because that is the only way that we paying punters are going to see something. If Conor can take Floyd out of his comfort zone, really take him out of his comfort zone, because some fighters have done so, whether it be for parts of rounds, one round, two rounds, they haven't been able to do it long term. Oscar De La Hoya, I would make the argument, he's the one that has probably had most joy against Floyd Mayweather. Maidana, okay, he had a little joy, but as Ross rightly points out, Floyd goes down, he sits, he looks across from him in that corner, and he dissects his opponent. He has strategies for everything. He will work out Conor McGregor, I have no doubt. He's got to be very careful in those opening rounds. He will be. He is an astute tactician, and he'll come out and he'll toy with Conor. It will be all over, and I'm fully expecting Conor to retire on his stool, seventh or eighth round.
Seventh or eighth round for Chris McCarty. Round-wise, which way are you going, Cross Christo?
I will go fifth round.
Fifth round. Okay. We've heard a lot. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, not just here, but on the station over the last couple of months, weeks, as Ross was saying quite rightly there. The chat has been going around for the last 2 years or so. We're about to get an answer this time tomorrow. For sure we'll know about it. The wee small hours of tomorrow will be better informed. In fact, we'll have it live updates for you on Dubai I-103.8 from tomorrow morning. Keep it locked on the business breakfast and then into the agenda as well. We'll keep you updated with what's happening in the fight itself. But I think it's time for us to hear from the fighters themselves as we go to a short break. As you can imagine, the weigh-in yesterday was a nice, quiet, serene affair. Both the boxers spoke to the fight caller straight afterwards with their thoughts, not just on their chances, but yeah, guess what? The other fighter and their opponent.
He looks blown out, full of water. He's not going to keep my pace. Trust me on that. That's the worst shape I've ever seen him.
You had a lot to say there on that face-off. What were you telling him?
That's the worst shape I've ever seen him. He looks blown out, out of shape. I'm going to breeze through him. Trust me on that.
There was a lot of talk about you having trouble making weight. You did not.
153.
How tough was it?
153. I'm a professional. I make weight. It's sacrifice. It's dedication. It's focus. but I make it, and that's it. Look at me, I'm in peak physical condition. I put in the work, as everyone can tell. I'm ready.
What will you come into the ring wearing tomorrow night? Do you have an idea?
A lot bigger. A lot bigger than him.
170?
I'd say close to 170, yes.
What do you make of the fact that this crowd here seems to be predominantly for you?
There's a saying, you'll never be the Irish, and that's it. You can't be us. We roll in and we take over wherever we want. Las Vegas is Ireland now.
He said to you at the press conference, in boxing, not only do you have to be able to give it, you have to be able to take it. Are you convinced in a boxing match that
I'll stomp my foot. I'll stomp my foot right in the center of that ring. I won't go nowhere other than the center of that ring. So let's go. Let's see who can take it. He's over there twiddling his thumbs, twitching away. I see a man afraid. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
I've been here before. I know what it takes when it's a fight of this magnitude. So, I did a lot of this, he did a lot of this, but tomorrow it comes down to the fighters.
149 pounds. You had 6 more pounds that you could have taken, but you elected not to. Why come in at this weight?
Because
particularly when you know he's going to be 170 tomorrow night.
Weight doesn't win fights. Fighting wins fights.
You said the other day, you got to give it, but you also got to be able to take it. Now that all the talk is done, do you believe in your heart that you'll be able to take it?
It won't go the distance. Mark my word.
This was the last time in your life that you will ever have to get on a scale. Has that set in, and what role does that play that this will be your final fight?
I just want to thank the fans. I'm not really worried about the scale or the last time. This will be Conor McGregor's last fight also.
Does it bother you that you're here at home and there's all these fans who've come from wherever they've come from, seemingly, for Conor?
The fans can't fight for you. It comes down to the two competitors. The fans cannot fight for you. 49 times I went out there, it was one-on-one.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Well, let's get down to Headingley, where England are taking on the Windies at the moment. No longer the West Indies, they've rebranded. They're the Windies now. And it is the second day of the second Test match. England bowled out yesterday for 258, improved to display by the West Indians, who showed a lot of patience. They showed a lot of pace and they got England out for 258. However, things aren't going according to plan for them in reply. They're currently 72 for 3. They trail England by 186 runs with 7 wickets remaining. The interesting one from this is the man that's taken all 3 wickets is Jimmy Anderson. Why is that significant? Because he's now up to 495. Could he possibly? 5 more in this? What, there's another 7 wickets remaining. Could he get an 8-foot in this one to go to 500?
He seems to be a man who's on song over there in Headingley. And, yeah, what a remarkable career it's been for Jimmy Anderson. You know, you think back to his younger days, a little bit of a kind of cheeky chap. He didn't really take his fitness all too seriously. He's matured. I think having a family has helped him. And what an occasion it would be later today if he was to take another 5 or so, 8 wickets in this innings to make to reach the big 500. That is nothing short of what that man deserves, because as I say, the penny finally dropped and he has carved out a quite incredible international career, not only for England, but he will be remembered as one of the greats as well.
Indeed he will. We'll keep an eye on that one for you throughout the day. Currently in the first session of play down there at Headingley in the Test match. Football wise, well, you are well catered for today. We've got 4 games kicking off at 6 p.m. Our feature game will be
Newcastle against West Ham, two teams who, I won't say it's crisis point, we are only into the third game of the season, but two teams who desperately need a win later this afternoon at St James's Park. There's been an awful lot written this past week on Rafa Benitez's future. Not happy with Newcastle owner Mike Ashley. He believes that there's been one or two broken promises from discussions that they had at the start of the summer regarding transfers of players coming into that football club. And for West Ham United, your team, Tom, we know that football club has invested heavily, the new stadium as well. Slaven Bilic, I don't believe he will be there come the end of the season. I think West Ham Tam are headed for a bit of a disastrous split from Slaven Bilic. Yes, he's a fine manager. I'm just not quite sure West Ham and he are a good fit. So that is a massive match, and that is the game that you can hear live and exclusive from 6 p.m. this evening.
Yeah, 6 p.m. We also have all the goals from the other three games kicking off at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned as well. Straight after that, 8:30 p.m. You'll have live action. Manchester United taking on Leicester City. That one's live here on Dubai I-103.8. More details on that one for you a little later on. We'll also have goals from the Bundesliga, if there are goals, that is, in the first half hour of play. Five games kicking off at 5:30 p.m. this evening, local time here in the UAE. Those games being shown down here at Barasti, if Bundesliga is the league that you follow. Plus, we'll look ahead to some big games in La Liga, Serie A, Liga, the Scottish Premiership and Championship. All action taking place from 6 o'clock this evening. Plus, plenty to discuss in the transfer market. However, football fans, well catered for down here at Barasti. Why? Because on the big screen down here and on all the screens, you've got the early kickoff in the Premier League. As we head to the Vitality, where Bournemouth entertain Pep and friends, let's get some team news for you for Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, let's start with the home team, Tom. Bournemouth, they have changed up formation this afternoon. Eddie Howe going with a back five. Of course, Bournemouth losing their opening two games of the season. That disappointing 2-0 home defeat to Watford last weekend. They're looking to bounce back and bounce back and then some. Back five for them. So it's Asmir Begovic, the summer signing from Chelsea, in goals. It's a back five of Adam Smith, Steve Cook, Nathan Ake, Tyrone Mings and Charlie Daniels. The midfield, Dan Gosling, Andrew Sermon and Harry Arter. Making his first start is the summer recruit Jermaine Defoe. He starts up front alongside Joshua King. For Manchester City, there is also a change in formation from Pep Guardiola's men. One or two big names missing out as well. Let's go through their side. Ederson in goals. It's a back four of Danilo. He comes in for the suspended Kyle Walker. The defensive two, the centre-back pairing of Vincent Kompany and Nicolas Otamendi, with Benjamin Mendy, the left-back from Monaco. He is getting his first start for City this afternoon. The midfield three will be Kevin De Bruyne, Fernandinho and the wonderful little diminutive David Silva, who makes them tick. And then it's a forward three of Raheem Sterling on the right, Bernardo Silva on the left, with Gabriel Jesus leading the line. It does mean that Sergio Aguero only gets a spot on the bench for Pep Guardiola this afternoon. John Stones also likewise on the bench, as is the German, the young flyer, Leroy Sané. That is a heck of a squad and a heck of a bench to call upon. But the job's got to be done for Manchester City today. They're looking to bounce back from that 1-1 home draw with Everton on Monday evening. Bournemouth against Manchester City. That match kicks off 12:45 local time. That is 3:45 here in the UAE.
We will hit now from the respective managers. Let's start with Eddie Howe, the Bournemouth manager, who is fully aware of the threats that Man City pose.
The two games we've had, we've dominated possession. We haven't created a great deal, but we've been the dominant team, looking to express ourselves against the opposition. I think this game will be, as much as we'd love to do that, you have to be realistic, this will be a different game. We respect Man City. We've had some really tough encounters with them in the Premier League already. We found them a really tough team to play against. So we expect a really tough assignment, and we're going to need to be at our very best to get anything.
For his part, Pep Guardiola has a lot of respect for Eddie Howe and how they play.
By the Premier League, you know, is so complicated, so special. Sometimes in the Champions League, the teams, they play and then they let you play. And Bournemouth is a team can play football, quite football, they want to play. The manager is so good in that terms, and they did a fantastic season last season. Okay, they start with two defeats, but sometimes it can happen. It's just in the beginning, and I know 12:30 will be complicated.
Looks like a nice day down on the south coast. Chris McCarthy, prediction time?
Prediction. I think Manchester City will just have too much for Bournemouth this afternoon. I do think it might be a long, hard season. I really do for Bournemouth. I know they've invested heavily once again in the summer. But I just think, looking at that team, and certainly today, it looks a little too defensive for me. I do think Manchester City will have the bit between the teeth. You look at the likes of the two Silvas, De Bruyne, Sterling, Gabriel Jesus, and then you look at the bench. So even if it's not working out for the first hour, 70 minutes, at any point in this football match, Manchester City can scare the life out of Bournemouth. So I'm expecting a City win, and I should point out as well, I'm a little bit behind in the times this afternoon, because kickoff is right now. It's not 4:45 local time, it is 3:30. So an amendment on that front will keep you bang up to date when goals go in down there at the Vitality Stadium.
It's 3:30. We're waiting for kickoff down at Bournemouth. Just tick-tock, the clock goes. We're going to take a short break when we come back. As Chris was saying, keeping an eye on that one. We're going to be off to Belgium to get the latest from Spa. We'll be talking to Damo Reid ahead of qualifying for the Grand Prix tomorrow. There's live action from Headingley as well. Plus, we're going stateside, not just to preview tomorrow's big fight, but also the fact that the US Open will be getting underway on Monday. So a lot to look forward to. If you're in the vicinity, do come and join us. We're live from Barasti with the game as always on.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Yeah, welcome back to Barasti. You're listening to The Grill broadcasting live from Barasti. With you through till 6 o'clock this evening. Plenty to look forward to. In fact, if you're in and around, come on down to Barasti. Why? Well, you can listen to us, Whitner and on, but you also get the opportunity to meet not just the GoSport Ninja Warrior XO, Sammy Escalidis, who'll be joining us just after 4:30, but also former undefeated WBO minimum weight champion and the former WBO light flyweight champion. Paulie Weir will be joining us. Paul's going to give us his expert insight into the money fight a little later on in proceedings. Let's get down to Bournemouth. Chris McCarty's watching the early kickoff in the Premier League for us.
Yeah, just 3 minutes on the clock at the Vitality Stadium. Bournemouth against Manchester City, as you'd expect, Tom. No fireworks in the opening exchanges. It remains Bournemouth 0, Manchester City 0. We're just seeing a free kick tossed in from the right-hand side for Bournemouth. It will be a corner for the home side. That has got the fans excited in these early stages, but as of yet, not much in the way of action. I'll keep you bang up to date when the goals go in down there on the south coast.
Let's go over to the United States, where we've got the, is it the Northern Trust that's ongoing?
That's right, Thomas. It's the Northern Trust. They're playing this one at Glen Oaks Country Club in Old Westbury, New York. And it's some familiar faces at the top. Dustin Johnson, 6-under. Ricky Fowler, 6-under. Jordan Spieth, 6-under. All tied with Johan Vargas, also at 6-under. At 6-under. Cooch is at 5-under. Bubba Watson is at 5-under. It is a star-studded affair out there on the links. Jordan Spieth has been playing quite good golf lately. Ricky Fowler has been playing absolutely phenomenal. And we have right now, I believe, Dustin Johnson, the world number one. We'll hear from him. Benji.
DJ, a round of 1 under par 69 today. How do you feel overall about your play?
Yeah, it was good. Good, really solid. Hit a lot of great shots. Hit a lot of good putts that didn't go in. But really solid again today. Other than I had two bad drives there on 4 and 5. That was the only kind of hiccups that I had. But other than that, I drove it really nicely and played really nicely again.
Yeah, when you look across your stats, they've all been really solid through these first couple of rounds. We've seen recently the change of the putter back to from the mallet to this style. Just talk us through the thinking on it and why you've moved again.
It's what I putted with for a long time. And the mallet worked very well. The spider worked very good for, the last 11 months. But the last couple months it hadn't. So just made a switch, on these really fast greens. And, it's a putter I'm used to looking at. I was just... I don't know, made the switch, but I'm rolling it good. Through the first 2 days, I feel like, I putted pretty well.
We saw Claude when you were halfway through your round today, and he said in terms of ball striking, it's been a long time. And you've seen you do some pretty impressive stuff. It's been a long time since you've seen it been as good as it's looked. Does it feel that impressive out there as we look at your shot here on the 14th?
Yeah, I'm starting to swing, how it was before, before I injured myself, right before Augusta. So, I'm hitting a lot of good, solid shots right where I'm looking and, controlling my distance very well. So, if I can keep the driver in the fairway, I'm going to have a lot of looks at birdie.
Just that little drop-off from Augusta, was that down more to just a momentum thing, or was this the physical side of it playing a big part for you?
Yeah, physical. It was all physical. No mental. It was just physical. I couldn't really practice for about 4 weeks, and then, my back was just, it was tight. It just didn't feel the same. So, it's just taking a little bit longer to get back to where I was, but I feel good, I feel confident, and I'm really comfortable on the golf course right now.
Yeah, welcome back. You're listening to, that was Dustin Johnson having his say. He's been going all right.
Yeah, two swings cost him there. I think they just woke him up for a nap when they did that interview. He was very, very riveting there, Dustin Johnson. He put me to sleep. But he had two bad swings in his round, but he's in the lead. Ricky Fowler played absolutely phenomenal. He had closed a five-shot deficit in six holes playing alongside Johnson, and he shot a 66. Vegas had a 65, so... all the big names in this leaderboard. Let's see how it comes down when it comes down to moving day on Saturday.
Looking forward to that. We'll also hear from Jordan Spieth a little later on in proceedings. What's also, well, there's plenty of action over in, well, I'm hastening a guess that this one might be taking place in Denmark.
Yes, you would get that by the name of this particular event, Made in Denmark. It's at the Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort, Tom. I've got to be respectful, I guess, to the men that are competing today, but when you look at the top of the leaderboard, there are not many names that jump out, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to those individuals who are at the top of the leaderboard on day three. Chris Paisley currently leads the way from England. He's on 10 under par, 5 under today through just 8 holes. He's joined by Julian Suri. I've got to admit, that's a new name to me as well. He's 4 under through 8, 10 under par. And Steve Webster, he is someone who I have heard from England. He's at 10 under par as well. The chasing pack includes the young, exciting Dane, which is nice to see a home hero doing so well. Thorbjørn Olsen, he's at 9 under par, 5 under today through 12. And what about the old veteran, John Daly? He's turning back the clock. He's 4 under through 10, also at 9 under par. That was after an opening round 67. Followed that up with a 70. He is just one shot off the lead as well. So he's tied with Thorbjørn Olsen, and he is one off that leading trio heading the way. Chris Paisley, Julian Suri, and Steve Webster. It is the Made in Denmark, Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort. It is round 3. It's moving Saturday, as we like to say, Tom.
A lot of people texting in on 4001 with their thoughts. If you'd like to have your say, please do exactly that. People wanting updates from the Belgian Grand Prix. Stay tuned, because we'll be crossing over to Damien Reid. Just before 4 o'clock, he's going to mark our card ahead of qualifying, which starts at 4 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Plus news through in the last few hours that Seb Vettel has signed a new deal for Ferrari. We're getting his thoughts on that one. There's rugby championship action to look forward to a little later on as South Africa take on Argentina. That one's going to be later, around about 9 o'clock this evening. However, we have been treated to an absolute humdinger down in Dunedin a little earlier on. Australia were woeful last week. They needed to bounce back. They did so in style.
Yeah, they did. Well, we say in style. They still lost, I think, ultimately, but you're right to say, Tom, they were a world away from what they produced last weekend. Michael Checker had obviously torn into them. These guys are proud sporting, you know, individuals. They wanted to bounce back after what was a negligent performance last week, really. They did so in kind. They were 17-0 up in this one over in Dunedin. Eventually, though, the class told and New Zealand came through 35 points to 29. It was a thrilling test. It had basically everything. 5 tries apiece from both the All Blacks and the Wallabies. You know, Tom, I've recently moved house, so I'm currently moving furniture around, but I had this match on. The missus wasn't best pleased. I was sitting down, trying to catch my breath watching it, because it was absolutely thrilling. It was on a knife edge right to the very end. It was Beauden Barrett, the magnificent number 10, who came up with that late try that eventually broke Australian hearts. But Australia can take great heart, great solace from the fact that they have pushed the world's best team to the very brink. I guess, though, ultimately, it is yet another defeat. The Bledisloe Cup will be remaining in New Zealand yet again. And for Australia, well, they'll go again. They need to try and carry on that momentum, because there was a lot of good rugby on show today. But once again, the All Blacks proving themselves to be a class apart.
So we know now that the Bledisloe Cup has been retained by the All Blacks. They won that thriller down in Dunedin. A little later on in proceedings, you've got Argentina against South Africa. That one's at 9:40 this evening. You can catch that one live on Showtime if you've got subscription to that channel. It's also the return of the Top 14 this season for a brand new season. Top 14 gets underway at 8 o'clock this evening. Brive taking on La Rochelle, Montpellier at home to Agen, Racing take on Castres, and you've got Bordeaux against Clermont as the late kickoff. Plus, rugby fans will be looking forward to the final of the Women's World Cup. England taking on New Zealand. It's been one of those sort of tournaments that's gone under the radar for a lot of people, but when you look at the figures, when you look at the numbers, when you look at the exposure it's been getting, every single game sold out for this tournament, which has been held in Dublin for the round games, and then the semi-finals and the finals being played up in Belfast. They taking place this evening. All the games in action, all the teams in action a little later on in proceedings, culminating in the final. England against New Zealand, England up against it.
Yeah, very much so against, as you'd expect, a very strong All Black side. The rugby is in their blood, as we know, over there in New Zealand. But just to carry on a point you made there, it's fantastic to see that women's sport is selling out around the world. And it isn't just rugby. You look recently, Tom, we talked about it on the agenda and, of course, in Sports Tonight. You look at the recently concluded Women's Women's World Cup in the world of cricket. It was a hugely successful event over there in the UK. And as Ross is nodding his head as well, as he can attest to as well, in the world of soccer, football, American, we saw the recent Women's World Cup up in Canada. Again, hugely popular, massive crowds pulling in. And I think we, the media, still need to do more in order to promote women's sport. But one thing is for sure, it is catching the imaginations. It is. And now I feel legitimately up there with the men's, your men's counterpart sports, and it's fantastic to see. And these ladies, no matter their discipline, very, very talented indeed. And oh, I've got to break away. My goodness, what a goal we have just seen at the Vitality Stadium. I'm talking women's sport. We break away for that for just a second. Bournemouth have taken the lead, and oh my goodness, I've taken them out of the fantasy football team. It is Charlie Daniels. What a finish this is. 12 minutes on the clock. We're watching the replay now. It's a corner that comes out. Manchester City can't clear it. It's Tyrone Mings who picks it up. He feeds the ball into the path, I think, of Dan Gosling. He gets his cross in. It's headed out right to the left-hand side of the box, and Charlie Daniels on the volley has just produced a finish. That is an early contender for goal of the season. The technique is absolutely sumptuous. It is perfect. It flies past Ederson. He can't even see it. It's in off the crossbar. It's Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 0.
That's what's happening in the Premier League. Let's just pick up on what Chris was saying there and bring Ross Christ in the conversation. You cannot, you know, women's sport the world over is growing.
Yeah, the Solheim Cup, USA just reigned champions in that. Broke record attendance this year. Over 124,000 people showed up in attendance, paid to get into that, and over 7.3 million viewers tuned into the Golf Channel and NBC to watch this, which broke every single women's golf record in the book. So the LPGA is doing quite well as well. As you said, the women's rugby, women's sports is on the rise. I think in the next 10 years, we're going to start seeing women's sports start to rival men's sports in some of these leagues, Tom.
Let's not forget as well, we've got the third place playoff, which is taking place. That one is getting underway at just before, so at 8 o'clock this evening. You've got French women taking on the USA women for the third place playoff. Then at 10:45, in the same stadium, Women's World Cup final, England women against New Zealand women. Reigning champions England taking on NZ at the King's Span in a bid to win back-to-back Women's Rugby World Cup titles.
Just to add to that, Tom, isn't that fantastic and great foresight from the organisers not to follow conventional wisdom and have the third place playoff the day before? They've put both matches on the same day, back-to-back. That in itself is a great way of just promoting the women's game, and I take my hat off to that as Ross hands me a picture of Ed Sheeran channeling his inner Conor McGregor. Fantastic that is. Absolutely fantastic.
Let's get a little bit of a preview. Let's hear from the captain of the England women's rugby team ahead of tonight's final. These two teams played each other, in fact, quite recently. They played at the Rotorua International Stadium in June of this year. That day, England scored 5 tries, prevailed 29-21 in challenging conditions. They're a little closer to home on this occasion. Let's hear from Sarah Hunter, the captain of the England women's rugby team.
It's amazing to know that we have the full country behind us to go on and finish the job off, really, and to know that regardless of the result, hopefully we've inspired some people out there to sort of believe in what they can do and to go out and set about a dream that they want.
So the Black Ferns, as you're probably well aware, have never lost, have they, a World Cup final. So how do you go about ending that record tomorrow evening?
For us, it's very much about us and our preparation for the game, and results that have happened before, past titles that teams have won, including ourselves. Everyone's really proud of what they've achieved, and I'm sure New Zealand are as well. But for us, it's very much slate clean, and it's a World Cup final, and past results and performances mean absolutely nothing when that whistle goes tomorrow. It's all about the here and now, and for us, we know that if we're to win it, we're going to have to be the best we can, and we're going to have to step up from all the games that we've played so far.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Showing a bit of backbone, which they didn't. Came in for a lot of criticism in their first test match and just after that first test match. Craig Braithwaite has gone to 56. He's been joined by Hope, who's on 25 at the moment. The Windies are 94-3, tracing down England's first innings totals of 258. Let's get to the Premier League. Chris McCarty.
Yeah, 18 minutes gone. What a a good game this is down at the Vitality Stadium. If you are just joining us, we have seen an early contender for goal of the season, and no, it did not come from Manchester City. Charlie Daniels, the left wing back today for Bournemouth, with an absolute screamer. And that is an old school word I probably haven't used on this show, but it's a fantastic finish. Wide on the left-hand side, the ball drops beautifully to him. The technique is just absolutely exquisite. It really is. A left-footed volley across the goalkeeper, crashed in off the crossbar at the far corner. And really an incredible finish. What I can tell you is just moments ago, we've got a Manchester City fan in with us this afternoon. He's watching this one. He was shaking his head really in disbelief at the defending of Manchester City. Again, it's Charlie Daniels down that left-hand side. He feeds the ball inside. I think it's to Harry Arter. He finds a wonderful little ball over the defence to Jermaine Defoe, the archetypal poacher, if you will. He side foots it. It's an easy one for Ederson. He should have probably done better, should Jermaine Defoe. But City are on the rocks a little here. 90 minutes gone at the Vitality Stadium. It remains Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 0.
Keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on all things sport. And talking of sport, this week saw the launch of a brand new app, the sports app here in the region, that is going to make our lives a lot easier and sports fans the world over. The founder of Ten is with us here. Andy Bilker joins us live on the show. Andy, thanks for taking time to see us.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Congratulations, first and foremost, on the launch.
Thank you. Yeah, 2 weeks now.
Talk to us about how it's the process into this. When did you come up with the idea, and how long has it taken to get to fruition?
So this is actually my second sports app with a social element to it. We started Sport Lobster 6 years ago, and 10 has evolved out of the learnings from Sport Lobster, you could say.
And in terms of the naming of 10, what was the thinking behind that?
Well, that was one of the main reasons. It drives a bit of intrigue, and so people remember it. But for us, it's 10 is quite synonymous with sport and legends in sport. If you look at football, rugby, you know, the likes of Dan Carter or Pele, number 10 is legends in sport, so that was one of the main drivers behind it.
We're going to be talking about another number 10 to Manchester United a little later on, not before we've mentioned news down from Bournemouth, Vitality, Chris McCarthy.
Yes, indeed. The journalist curse strikes again. A moment ago I said Manchester City were on the rocks. Not so now. They've levelled things up. It's quick thinking from Gabriel Jesus. He plays a little quick free kick into the feet of the magician David Silva. That man sees passes that, well, me and you, Tom, can only dream about. He threads the ball through to Gabriel Jesus, who's carried on his run. A beautifully weighted pass. My goodness, what a pass that is. And Gabriel Jesus, he just shrugs off Nathan Aki, toe pokes it past Asmir Begovic. And in a blink of an eye, 21 minutes on the clock, it's now Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 1.
Let's get back to Andy. In terms of, I mean, there are other, you've been involved with sports apps, you've been involved with covering sport for the majority of your life. There are other sports apps out there. How does 10 differentiate itself?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the key thing. There are so many sports apps out there. But there, for ourselves, the way we look to differentiate ourselves is that it brings a social element to the experience. So not only do you get your personalised sports updates through the app, but you are enabled to react with immediacy to those and chat with your friends about what's going on in the world of sport.
So yeah, we've spoken, Andy, haven't we? Very much kind of the WhatsApp model in that regard, in the sense that it's a lot more personal. There's a lot more information available to you. So for example, if I'm watching the football, like we are now, I've got my groups on 10. I can very quickly share scores, share little icons, share little nuggets of information that just, I guess, harness the conversation that
little bit. Yeah, I think the key is about enabling people to share their reaction, right? So giving them the tools to create content. So when I register with 10 and I say, well, I'm a fan of, let's say, the Premier League, and that, you know, Man City have just scored, I have the ability with that update to tap on that, create content, whether I'm filming or whether I'm taking a picture, to share my emotion, share my reaction, choose. We've got like funky stickers that you can play with, really to express your emotion and then share that into the private chats, much like you would have on WhatsApp.
Just a question. You mentioned it a little earlier, Andy. You were co-founder of Sports Lobster. Now, it made quite a serious dent on the market. I remember Cristiano Ronaldo was one of your brand ambassadors. You had Harry Redknapp involved. Michael Owen was heavily involved as well. You talked about the learnings from Sport Lobster and those that you've now carried into 10. So what was the biggest thing you learned from the success of Sports Lobster that you've tweaked and harnessed in 10?
I think there's two things, really. To start with, there was a lot of excitement about the concept of what Sport Lobster was offering, a social platform for sports fans to talk about sport. And as a result of the early buy-in, as you just mentioned, we had a lot of partnerships with the likes of the NBA, the NFL, Cristiano Ronaldo, etc. that allowed us to scale quite rapidly, but perhaps too quick for our own good, and the platform wasn't quite ready for that kind of exposure. So that was one thing. The other thing is that on it was a very much a public forum, which meant that we were subject to a lot of abuse. Of course, sports fans can be very passionate, which can run you into trouble. So that's why we've taken
Don't
10.
Don't we know that,
Yes,
Andy?
Exactly. So 10 is driven much more towards sharing that experience at the moment with your friends in those sort of safe places where you can have the private conversations. And also, I think with 10, what we'll do is take a much more calculated approach in seeing how the fans are using it before we then leverage those relationships we've got in the world of sport to scale the product.
Andy, there's a ton of different sports out there. What sports will 10 include in the app?
We cover, funny enough, 10 sports at the moment, so that is actually a coincidence.
Beautifully done that, Andy.
I must admit. So the likes of football, rugby, tennis, golf, cricket, Formula One, NFL, NBA, NHL. So we're covering the main sports throughout the world, but we would, of course, look to expand on that as time goes on.
And right now, if you wanted to get this app, is it free or is there a charge that goes along with it?
No, it's absolutely free, and the easiest way to get it, because it's just gone live, and already it's in 2 weeks, we've got a couple thousand users on there, so over 2,000 users, but the easiest way to find it would be to go to our website, which is www.10.me. That's 10.me.
Got a question for Andy. He's sticking around with us for a few mo's, so feel free to text them through to us on 4001 and we'll pose them to him. We'll get more from Andy in just a few moments' time, but talking all things sport, just need to break away quickly to bring in motorsport and Formula One journalist and broadcaster Damien Reid joins us live on the line now to preview qualifying over in Belgium ahead of tomorrow's Grand Prix. Damo, thanks for taking time. Before we get on to qualifying itself, big news coming out from the world of Formula One today. Seb Vettel has signed a new deal. Taken some people by surprise, the length of that deal. Give us your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise, guys. He signed up for 3 years. That'll take him through to the 2020 championship, and that gives him another 3 years with Ferrari. So, yeah, a little bit surprising, you know, for a guy of his stature, four-time world champion, to commit himself to 3 years is a big call, and it effectively, you know, blows the other big guys out of the water. I know Mercedes were talking to him as recently as July this year about perhaps stepping in next year, and that's effectively shut those doors, which could take him up to the end of his career. You never know.
In terms of what's been happening at Spa, what's been happening in Belgium ahead of qualifying this afternoon, how's practice and the practice sessions been going over the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, we spoke on Sports Night the other day saying that it was going to be a Mercedes weekend, and effectively it still could be. However, during free practice, it's been Ferrari that has dominated so far, and it's been Kimi Raikkonen who is quickest in free practice one, but most importantly, quickest in free practice three, followed by Sebastian Vettel as a 1-2. And free practice three was held this morning, and of course, that's the one that gives you the best indicator of how the cars will perform in the race, because they're running full race weights with fuel and also the tyres that they're going to start on. So it's given Mercedes a little bit of something to be concerned about, because this should be the race they're going to be good at. They're getting new engines and new turbochargers this weekend for Mercedes. Ferrari are getting theirs, the next one at Monza. So they should be heading the timesheets leading into qualifying. So it's given the guys in the Silver Arrows something to worry about just a little bit.
Demo, just returning to the news today that Sebastian Vettel has signed a new deal at Ferrari. We saw last week, of course, the news that Kimi Raikkonen has signed a new 12-month deal with the Scuderia. I just wonder what it means then long-term, because there has been some suggestion. Lewis Hamilton has made no secret of his admiration for Ferrari. Does this now essentially mean that Lewis Hamilton will not be going anywhere for Mercedes, at least for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, you're right. I think it's going to make it very comfortable to keep Lewis at Mercedes from here on, because one of the stipulations in Sebastian's demands was that he wanted Kimi Raikkonen as his teammate. And Sebastian is sort of following on a little bit on the Michael Schumacher formula of having a very decent number two driver and not a competitive number one driver. He's been down that path before at Red Bull where there were two number ones, and he wants to be a definite number one with a good number two driver, and Kimi fills that role perfectly. So, yeah, we'll see Kimi for another 12 months guaranteed, but I doubt very much that we'll see Lewis Hamilton going. In fact, they even said in the press conference earlier yesterday, Lewis Hamilton said that Sebastian wouldn't like to work with him. So that kind of set the tone for those guys being teammates in the future.
So qualifying for pole just about to get underway. It's a 4 o'clock local start, is it, Damo?
Yeah, exactly. The guys are just hopping into the cars now. It's a 60-minute session. So far, no chance of rain, which is quite unusual for Spa, so we should see the whole 60 minutes go through in fine and dry conditions. Pretty warm over there, middle of summer, but at Spa, you never know. Sometimes it rains at one part of the circuit, and other parts it's sunny in the other corner.
I'll let you settle down to watch that one for us, Damo. Enjoy qualifying. We'll catch up with you straight after qualifying to get your take on the qualifying for the bar for the Belgian Grand Prix, which takes place tomorrow. Thanks to Damo Reid for joining us live on the line. More from him a little later on in proceedings. Time is 4 o'clock. Time for us to go to the newsroom. After the news, continue our conversation with Andy, finding out more about his brand new app, which is taking the world of sport by storm, not just here locally, but also internationally. Plus, we look ahead to the big one with a former world champion himself. Paul Weir will be joining us. In fact, he's just walked into Barasti. We'll be hearing more from Paul in just a few moments' time as we build up to the big fight tomorrow morning.
Unbelievable goal!
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.